Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey. I am Dr. Vicki, and I am happy to be here. After spending a weekend of relaxation, and it has totally been beautiful this weekend, the North Georgia mountains are about 60 degrees right now. The wind is blowing, and it has just been a beautiful weekend of deep gratitude. And actually, one of the reasons why I'm in such gratitude is that I live in a very large house, and as you all know, I've tried to sell it and finally have made the decision to settle in, just settle in right now and just be in my home and really enjoy it. And I had someone come out to make sure that it was all in good shape, the foundation, everything was just in really tip-top shape. And he gave me some advice about how to keep mold and moisture out of my terrace level. And because of that, now I can live in the summer and in the winter and warmth and coolness. And I know that sounds a little strange, but when you're in a big house, sometimes it's very difficult to do without having central heat and air that I don't like. So it's just been a powerful, powerful weekend. And I want to share also that's what prompted me to want to talk tonight about learning to be unified with yourself. And I know that's so trite. Oh, loving yourself. Oh, how trite. Well, I have listened to Fox and CNN. Those are two of my favorite shows. Cedar Cove. I love Cedar Cove. Oh, my gosh. Angie McDowell is just fabulous. But anyway, I have listened to Fox and CNN and seen the news of the week this weekend. And it has prompted me to talk tonight about love, about loving ourselves more than anything. And as well, having done my astrology with my friend Lorelai, who will be on my show in the next couple of months, I've known her for 12 years, and she is a true, wonderful astrologer as well as friend and dream accelerator. And after seeing that this is a time of receiving and astrologically and learning to honor yourself, I felt the urge to talk about marrying yourself, loving all of you, which means the dark and the light side. Now, everyone that's into any kind of metaphysics or spiritual, you know, enlightenment, ascension, knows that there's all aspects of us. We all have a light side and we all have a dark side. Now, most of us on planet Earth have learned to control our dark side and have learned to utilize the light. Otherwise, we would not be able to function in a respectable, honorable, in the law manner. And we certainly wouldn't be able to grasp spirituality. Now, you can go to church all day long, and the next thing you're out doing your stuff. I'm talking about true spirituality here. I'm not talking about just going to church once a week, and maybe you are religious and maybe you are spiritual at the same time, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about true, deep down in your heart, only you know your soul's intent. That's the kind of spirituality and light that I'm talking about. Yin and yang, male and female, good and bad, negative and positive. And there's a percentage, a continuum, if you may, where you may have once loved someone. Then you go to hate them. You go through a divorce or a friendship that ends. Then you settle somewhere in the middle. It's sort of like, I don't know. I don't love them. I don't hate them. But I certainly just don't have any feelings about them. I mean, it's a continuum that changes energy constantly. Now, think about how you love a person deeply. You date them and you marry them. Then years later, you look at them and you wonder, well, what did I do? I mean, who am I and who is this person sleeping in my bed? Excuse me. Oh, my Lord. I had that happen once, y'all. I mean, I've certainly had enough relationships. I've had a lot of things happen. This particular relationship, I had gone through a lot of spirituality training and had gone through a lot of healing energies. And one day I woke up and I was looking at this person and I was like, oh my gosh, who is he? And who am I? And it was like I had woken up from this deep, deep slumber of a sleep. And of course, we did get a divorce. It was amicable. There was no issues. It was, you know, we had no assets between us. So, you know, there was nothing to divide. He went his way, I went my way. But I mean, it was like, wow. Well, I certainly can't say that I was still in love with him. Obviously, I wasn't. I didn't hate him. It was just like, oh, there's a person in my bed. I don't know who he is. And oh my God, he's my husband. Oh, wow. We got an issue here. You know, it's one of those like, oh, I think I have a problem. But anyway, it got resolved and everything's fine. You know, I'm not, in, I don't talk to this person. I don't have any connection with him. I don't hate him. I don't, you know, love him that way, but I don't, I just have this, oh, okay, he's another human being that I actually had crossed on my soul's journey. So you learn to resolve it somewhere, and you certainly don't go to the extreme unless you want to be on forensic files or something. And that brings up the entire issue of love that started on the Fox and CNN issue. I have heard it said about 100 times, if that many, maybe more, over the past few weeks. Everyone, these are psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers on TV saying, you know, everyone needs to be acknowledged. And they need to feel like they exist on this planet. They have an importance. And, you know, some of us choose the path of learning about ourselves. That's why you're listening tonight. Or others just do negative things like maim or kill for attention. Again, that's what happened this week. Happens a lot. You know, oh, wow, this person got on the news. So therefore, they feel like, according to these psychological folks, things I've learned as well, that they became important. They don't have the connection with themselves, the love for self, the love for humanity, the connection with spirit. They may have a connection with God, but it ain't the God that's giving them good advice. It's some other intention that's giving them advice, because if they were truly connected to spirit, to God, they wouldn't be doing these kinds of things. It's another entity that is acting as if they're God, because God does not tell you to hurt. God does not tell you to maim. God does not tell you to hurt another animal or living creature on this planet. It because you feel them. If it, you know, if you're connected at all, you feel. And so these, again, love, these folks, and you can call it a judgment if you want to, but what I'm trying to tell you is that from my perspective, they've not learned to love themselves, honor themselves, and respect themselves. So they have no way to honor, love, or respect others. Now, granted, a lot of folks that are out there in the news today that are doing these harmful things, maybe they were hurt. You know, the story goes that this cycle of abuse continues. But somewhere, y'all, we got to stop it. And there, we can't sit here and say, oh, I'm going to save the world. Because then you get out there in the world and you forget about yourself. You know, you're sitting there doing all these actions, and that's wonderful. And we all should be in that mindset. Yet at the same time, we got to start with ourselves. We got to start with the person next to us. I have heard so many people that go out and try to save the world and their kids are suffering, or they're suffering, or they've got some disease that they're not taking care of, or they've got some emotional issue that's not being taken care of. Yet they feel like they're taking care of everything by going out. My viewpoint, and again, everything I say on this show is my viewpoint only. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, or don't believe it, or choose to believe it. We all can give what we have. Now, you come to me tomorrow and say, you know, Dr. Vicky, I need a home to stay in. And I'll say, okay, well, I like a friend. Like, let's say I have a couple of friends that might need a place to stay. I can give them that because I have accomplished enough in my life so that I have an extra room to stay in. I have the heating and air now fixed up. I can let them stay here. I have something to give to them because I honored myself enough to work in my lifetime so that I could have some substance to be able to have that room in there that provides for them. Now, I see somebody else that needs a blanket. Well, I can give them that blanket if I have a blanket. But if I have just chosen to be, you know, not honor myself and not to love myself and not to live my soul's journey, and my soul's journey happens to be wanting to have some substance so that I can go out there and help other people, well, then I can't give them that blanket. I can share the love with them and give them a hug, but I can't give them that blanket. Now, I personally have gone through a metamorphosis living in the North Georgia mountains on this mountain retreat by myself most of the time. I've gone through two relationships since I've been up here, but honestly, they did not nurture me. I thought they were going to nurture me, and we'll get into that in a minute. But honestly, I had to nurture myself. I truly had to learn to nurture myself. And you know, this brings up something else. As a member of PETA, the Humane Treatment of Animals group, I hear unbelievable horror stories of abuse. And a dear friend of mine named Chippa, my Indian friend here in the North Georgia mountains, lives right down the road from me, actually tells me of real North Georgia mountain stories of animal abuse that he has actually gone, and that's his soul's purpose, to go out there and help these endangered animals that are just, you know, I don't even go there because it is so, you know, upsetting to me. The only way I could resolve it for myself was to join groups that help those kinds of folks. Help those kinds of folks go out and help animals. So the first thing I think of is that whoever is doing this, though, to these animals or to people, obviously we're talking about both, has no love for themselves, nor respect or any connection with God that would help them to love. I mean, if you have any connection with God, the real God, the God that is love. I mean, the God that is love. I don't want to get into religion, but that God doesn't judge us. That God doesn't teach anything but love, honor, respect, discernment. You know, there are things that we have to learn through our guidance and as a spiritual mentor. I hope that I can one day touch base with you so that I can help you through some of the things that I experience. Therefore, I understand them and know them. Now, you know, if this sounds judgmental, well, then I apologize for that for your sake. But abuse and hurting others intentionally, well, I just don't see that as something that helps our society. I personally can't understand it in a way that, you know, makes sense to me. And my only solution for it is to honor myself, to get to know myself more. And Rohan did that for me. I saw the very deep down dirty, I mean, those parts of us that can hurt other people, including ourselves. And I think that I've hurt myself more than I've hurt anybody else. Now, I'm sure there are people in my lives that would say, no, Vicki, you hurt me. You really did hurt me. And I'd say to them, I'm sorry. I did not intend to hurt you, but I was probably hurting within myself. Otherwise, I would not have had the capability. If I had not hurt myself, I would have not had the capability of hurting somebody else. Now, of course, you can only be hurt if you choose to be hurt. And those people that possibly had hurt, maybe had hurt somebody else in that same way. And when I studied for the ministry at Delphi University for over 3 years, we learned to love all aspects of ourselves. We called it our board of directors. We had to learn all the aspects of our board of directors. And you know, board of directors have all kinds of personalities. And we all have those. An astrologer, my friend Lorelei, who will be on, calls it your cast of characters. And in Rohan, a spiritual psychotherapy that's strictly spiritual, we get down to the core of who we are. Now, one thing I want to say about energy, because we, you know, I had Robert Tum on last week, and he's a specialist in energy. Energy works only is as effective as folks who have some connection. You got to have some sort of connection with the higher being. Now, I want to share a very incredible story. I was in a relationship with a person who really didn't want to grow spiritually, but wanted to have the control over the relationship. And the only way they could do that was to train the same way that I was training, because they thought, if I train the same way that she's training, well, then I'll have that knowledge and I'll be able to dictate and control. It wasn't a true I really wanted to get better for myself. Now, my spiritual mentor, who happened to be on the show last week, and it is on the archives if you want to listen to the August 23rd show, worked with this person. Now, they knew exactly where this person was, but they were doing it to do the best that they could, because they can't dictate if somebody's going to get better or not. That's up to spirit. So this person would get better, and then as soon as you know, Robert quit working on them, or I would quit working on it, they'd go right back down again, because they really didn't have the spiritual connection that they wanted. They didn't attempt to have it. And so it didn't work. And you know, it was attempt. You always want to help people. You always want to do the best that you can, especially when they cry out for it. But if your desire is to control or to hurt or to harm or to con someone in use of learning these spiritual gifts, you get, as a spiritual counselor, as a spiritual mentor, as a spiritual counselor like myself, I get shut down from it. I can't do it. If I'm going to hurt somebody, or if I'm going to teach somebody something that could hurt somebody else, spirit will shut me down so that I can't do it. And that person will not be able to learn those wisdoms that could actually hurt somebody. And I just want to share that, because you can't just say, well, I want so-and-so to get better. You can sponsor them and ask the divine ones to assist them, but you can't dictate what's best for them, because you don't know their soul's journey. None of us do. We can go in the Akashic records and we can tell people things, but they have to live their own soul's journey. It's just part of it. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about tonight was marrying yourself. Now, there, you know, you can go online and you can listen to different or read about different people marrying themselves. When I was in Delphi, we had a course that we had to go and learn all about ourselves, the negative and the positive, how we could control the negative, what we could do to enhance the positive, but we honored all parts of our being. And as we're on planet Earth, that is one of the greatest parts of our soul's journey, is that we can say, wow, you know, I get angry, you know, or I get too easily upset by other people. Okay, well, start honoring yourself, y'all. This isn't about ego. There are two ways of loving yourself. There's loving yourself where you are honoring who you are as a child of God, child of spirit, child of the universe. Or you can get into the ego aspect of it and say, well, I'm just the greatest thing that ever hit the earth. Well, it's better to say that than to beat yourself down. Because when you beat yourself down, you're just dishonoring the whole universe, because you were created for a reason. You know, if a child is born and passes away briefly, they had a very strong gift to give. They may not have been famous. And I think that's what's happening in our world today because of all the media. It seems like value is based on how well known you are, and you know, how many people know you, how rich you are. So if you're someone like me that's out here in the North Georgia mountains and talks on a radio show once a week because I love it so much, I do, you know, appointments with people, I help people buy homes, I help people, you know, to live better in their world through the legal process. I don't go to court anymore, but when I did go to court, I helped people. I really did. My intention was not to destroy people. My purpose was to help bring families back together in juvenile law. In divorces, I helped those that could not, you know, stay in their marriages anymore. But I always tried to mediate. And so my point being is that I won't be famous this lifetime. It's not my journey, really. If it happens, it happens. But it's not really what I live for every day. It's not like, oh, wow, I'm going to do this and this and this so that I can be famous. My goal is to touch somebody every time I meet them to be authentic. I want to be authentic. Because if I'm authentic, and if you're authentic, then you've already touched everyone that you meet. Because the authenticity of our human race is not absolutely pure right now. We're always trying to be somebody else. We're trying to be this. We're trying to be that. And it was like I was playing pool today with my daughter, and I was prancing around because I'd actually got one of the balls in, and I was like prancing around and saying, ooh, and my daughter, being a Leo as she is, she said, Mama, just be natural. And I was like, okay, I'm having fun. I am being natural. But it was so odd to her to see me acting up like that. And you know, so it's like you got to be authentic for who you are. It's like you – and this is from Buddha, you yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe. Now, I'm going to restate that. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. And Buddha said that. He didn't say go love the world, just love the world. Love yourself and love the world. Now, I think one of the hardest aspects of learning to love yourself is, well, of course I love myself. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about how I thought I loved myself. When I was working in the last couple of weeks, and in all the work that I've done on myself, you have no idea, y'all. I've really done a whole lifetime of wanting to get better, choosing to get better, being closer to God, being closer to that higher consciousness. And I found that I was saying silly things to myself about, well, I can't do that. Well, this won't work. And finally, when I was talking to Lorelai a couple of days ago, I said, well, one day when the time is right, I will begin my counseling career. And she said, wow, did you just hear what you said? And I said, yeah. And she said, you are a counselor. You are already counseling everybody you meet. Even when you talk to me, you're counseling. That's who you are. That's your authentic self. You are a counselor, a counselor of law, counselor of spirituality. And when she said that, I was like, my whole left side of my body for the last couple of days has been hurting. Left side is receiving, y'all. Again, right now, the moon in Pisces, moon's going into Aries, I think Tuesday. Regardless, it's a time of receiving, being able to receive. And if you've got anything going on in your left side, that means that you're not receiving as well. That's a general statement. But overall, the left side of your body is female. The right side of your body is the giving, the gap out there. I got to go do it. I got to do it. I never have my right side of my body hurting because I'm always out there doing. I'm doing, doing, doing. You know, it's just constant. You know, out there either practicing law, doing my radio show, giving to my daughter, giving to my pets. You know, I'm always giving. But the receiving for myself was not happening. You know, I was not being able to receive my home. I've lived in this home for 15 years. I really never enjoyed it. For 15 years, I have a beautiful home, and I've never really enjoyed it. I've always tried to give it away. It was too big. It was too fancy. It was too hard to keep up. It was too expensive. There was always something. And you know what? 15 years later, I've never had a problem paying for it. I've never had a problem doing anything with it. So I was creating this non-receipt of being able to enjoy. All my daughter and I did was shift our viewpoint, put a basketball court up and a pool table. And I'm telling you right now, I'm enjoying my life for the first time since I've lived in this home. I'm enjoying my home. And it has been a gift that I was not allowing myself to receive. You know, Spirit showed me this home, 2001, gave me this home, and I really never accepted it as mine, never really accepted it as mine. And so, you know, we're not supposed to possess things, and it wasn't really about possession. It was about the fact that Spirit has given you a place of shelter, of safety, of a place where you could call home, where you have deer and bear, and a place where your daughter has been raised, where she's been safe, even in storms and tornadoes and lightning. We've always remained safe. There's a gift. And I want you to think about your own life. Think about the place that you're in right now. And yes, there may be changes you need to make. You know, that's something you and I can talk about one-on-one. But overall, there's some gift there. There's something that you can receive. I know that there are things that you can receive from where you are right now. And when you start to give those gifts to yourself, then you're allowing spirit in. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and your affection. Now, there are people, and I was reading about it today because I went through a marriage of myself. And as a person who has married officially, well, two of them weren't legal, but let's just call them legal, okay? One of them was to a religious person that wasn't legal, and the fifth one was married to his first wife. So there was never a legal marriage under the law. But regardless, there was a marriage there. And I always, when I went through this ability to receive yesterday, I went very, very deep in my journey, in my walk up in the mountains. I realized, and by the way, my left side quit hurting after I realized this. And sometimes chiropractor has to help, but you still got to get down to that spirituality of what's really going on. And when I realized that every relationship that I'd ever gotten into was for some purpose of making me feel more love, making me feel more secure in my place in love. It all had to do with love, because I loved every single person. I mean, I loved them. And yet, it didn't last long. And I have to look back, because, you know, it's not about them, it's about me. I always was searching for love. And because I didn't have it for myself, and I will flat out tell you, I did not have it for myself because of my background. I had a mother that loved me, but she was, you know, had her issues. I had a father that claimed to have loved me, but he had his issues. Just like as a parent, I have my issues. And so I came onto this planet choosing those parents because I needed to learn how to love myself. Well, heaven forbid, it's taken me 5 decades to even get to the point where I was even aware that I had to love myself. You know, to really ascend spiritually, I had to learn to love myself. And so when I was able to go walk in the mountains, and I sure wish somebody would call so that I can talk to you about your experiences with this. This is not just about me preaching, you know, or sharing. I really want to hear your viewpoints. And if you want to call in, feel free to call in and chat with me about your love and how you can learn to love yourself more. It's like when we were at Delphi, we had a marriage ceremony where we actually married ourselves. Because that was just the beginning of awareness for me. And that was like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 5 years at this point, where I even had an awareness that I had to learn to accept all parts of me and to honor me and to respect me. And it was a journey. It's not like you marry yourself and all of a sudden you have all the love in the world for yourself and everything's just perfect. It's like a real marriage. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to get to know yourself. If you really, really, really had that kind of love for yourself, then when you go into a real marriage of a man and woman, or however you can term marriage, I don't evaluate for that. Love is love. But love is a contract. Marriage is a contract. Love is, if you want to just love somebody, go love them. But if you're going to marry somebody under the law, that's a contract. And, you know, that's where my understanding of the law comes into play with my understanding of spirituality. Because, you know, I can go find, Joe tomorrow and love him. And we can have the most fun in the world. We can go, you know, trips, and we can enjoy our lives together. But if we're going to love into a marriage, then holy Moses, we got a contract then. We got a real legal contract. How are you, Sandy?
I am doing fine. Ask and you shall receive. You wanted a caller, here I am.
I appreciate you're always so consistent in supporting the show, and it's so deeply appreciated. I love to hear how you are loving yourself. What do you do to love yourself, Sandy?
Well, I'm going to say something that's probably going to shock you. Vicki, I'll tell you a quick, Dr. Vicki, I'll tell you a quick story, okay? I was my dad's pet when I was growing up, and the rest of the family did not like this. And when Mom and Dad separated, when they would say bad things about my dad, the whole family, it would just break my heart. I mean, people shouldn't talk about one parent and, you know, in front of the children, say bad things about the other parent. It's bad for the child. But, I would just, get so upset, I would scream, "Stop talking about my daddy." I was just loud. So I would get spankings for that, beatings for that all the time. I would be told how mean I was, how bad I was, how my daddy warped my mind off and on all of my growing up years, to the point where after I was married for a while to my children's father, when there would be an argument, everything that happened, I thought it was all my fault. And I thought I was such a bad person that this is crazy, but I started hitting myself to the point where I left bruises on my face. And it wasn't until, about 6 years ago, I've done that actually in front of my husband now. When we would have disagreements, I would feel like I was bad and it was all my fault. And it wasn't until I learned to love myself and stopped doing that I was cognizant of the fact that everything is not all my fault. And when there are disagreements, it takes two. And now I have learned to love myself so much. I tell my husband, I said, now we're going to discuss this. And I said, the person who used to hit themselves, they don't exist anymore. And I said, I'll tell him I love myself and I'll kiss my hands and I'll never do that again. I'm a temple of God, just like everybody walking this earth. And we have to learn to honor ourselves and love ourselves before we can fully love others and take care of others.
That's true. And think about it now. Sandy, you have the cognizance and the ability to want to get better. Now, just imagine those children that grew up having been hit and they never had that opportunity to grow. And I'm not defending them. I'm just saying this is how our world can get so kind of crazy. They go out and what do? They go hit. They go kill. They go, you know, and we all have had issues. And listen, I have trained Sandy with wealthy people, not wealthy people, famous people, not famous people. And there's always something in their childhood that bothers them. Something that you would wonder, you might say, why would that bother that person? That wouldn't bother me. See, but for them, it bothered them. Just like what you went through bothered them. You had a fabulous love. Your father gave you a love. A lot of women don't have that. I never had the love.
Oh, he was treated me like a princess when he was around. He loved me, and he showed me that he loved me much better than he loved my the other four children, my brother and my sisters.
Yeah. Well, y'all obviously just, you know, from a reading viewpoint, y'all obviously had a very strong connection. But what gift have you found by honoring yourself now? What gift have you found that all of that experience gave you so that now you can sit back and say, wow, I went through a lot, but look where I am now. What is your gift that you feel? I mean, kissing your hand instead of hitting it is a beautiful gesture. How beautiful.
Well, I have a deep empathy for other people, and it has also, you know, when you met me, I had been a human rights advocate for years. It gave me empathy for others. It also gave me the knowledge beyond a shadow of a doubt that sometimes the people who are loud are not really the mean ones. And I have been able to, and I am still able to, counsel with others who need me. They just seem to fall in my lap from time to time, and teach them, help them to realize rather their own self-worth. Just two quick incidences I will give you. Two people I worked with who were convinced that they would have to eventually be institutionalized, that they were hopelessly mentally ill. I put a magnifying glass on all of their strengths, helped them to see how wonderful and talented and smart they were, helped them to realize that, have the attitude, how dare anybody label you. It's like putting a sign around your neck saying, garbage, take it away. And one person who was supposed to be hopelessly mentally ill became a lawyer. These are my biggest success stories. Now, the other one became an airline pilot, and they have been successful now for years.
Wow.
So it's given me that ability to see past what other people might consider an illness that'll instead of seeing the person.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I don't know if you watch the news, but I don't like to get into the negative of it. But when I do watch the news, I look at it, and it all comes back down to these folks they don't love themselves. You know, they can't, they're not connected to themselves. You know, you can say, if you're not connected with yourself, how can you be connected with anybody else? You can't feel pain for yourself. If it doesn't bother you to hurt yourself, and I'm not talking about you personally, but I'm talking about anybody. If it doesn't bother you if you hurt yourself, then how does it bother you if you hurt somebody else? And I have heard through my experiences as a counselor of law that children that I represented cut themselves just so that they could feel pain because they needed to know that they were alive. Now, those same girls, and it was always girls that I represented, those same girls could probably not necessarily go out and hurt somebody else, but they didn't get healing. It would not, you know, a lot of children, and this is a known fact, that children of abuse that have been abused physically, spiritually, I shouldn't say spiritually, emotionally, I should say spiritually, but you know what I'm getting at, have a tendency to harm dogs. You know, you have to be very careful because I had a little girl that I hosted from another country. And this was a precious child. You saw her picture. And beautiful child. But she, not intentionally now, but she chased my little dog, at the time, my little dog was about 5 pounds. She's now 10 pounds. But at that time, she chased her all over the house, and my dog learned to bite as a little puppy. Mm-hmm. And this was just last summer. She learned to bite because she had no way to defend herself. And there's this little girl chasing her all over. Well, that's abusive. You know, no matter what you say to somebody, they won't stop. Then they're abusing that dog when they know that that dog does not want that. I mean, when you've told a child to stop it right now, and this child knew enough English. So now I have a dog that has grown up, and she won't bite you like if you were to come or somebody. But if another child comes chasing after her, she will start to bite. And because she had no way to defend herself. And, you know, they've asked me to host this child again. And I said, no, I have to honor myself first. And I know that I have to keep my, you know, I can't protect, I can't take care of a child like that right now. I don't have the emotional means, the time, nor do I want to put myself, nor my daughter, or my pet through that again. So I've had to say, no, I'm not able to do that. I've had to honor myself first, honor my pet and my daughter second and third, my daughter second and my pet third. And so in doing that, we have to sometimes say no to a child or a person in need. And I'd love to hear your comment on that, because sometimes there is someone in need, but we're not the ones that can help them personally by coming in back into our home again. And I know to many Christians, that sounds very, very selfish.
Yeah.
You see? And that's where people get
it. It doesn't sound selfish. It doesn't at all to me. It doesn't sound selfish. When you take a dog or a cat into your home to me, they're more than a pet. They're part of your family. That is their home. And if someone you are hosting comes in and they do not honor part of my family, they are not welcome. And this is a little tiny bit off the subject, but I just want to insert this here because I used to be a human rights advocate and worked with a lot of people who did hurt themselves, who did, some of them had tried to commit suicide. Usually now, not always, you hear even here on the news where this is not true in some cases, but usually when a person is apt to harm theirself, they just feel worthless, and they don't feel like they are worthy of anything, and they don't harm others. As a matter of fact, I've never worked with anybody who harmed themselves, who had harmed or would harm others. I know when I did it, it was because I felt horrible that I had upset somebody else, and I felt like I had to be punished, and thank God I came out of that. But anyway, back to your subject, though, no, I would not allow anybody in my home who abused any of my family members in any way.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because my daughter asked me the other day, we were going on a little field trip, and she asked me, she said, if you were stranded on an island and you could only have one person with you, and not me now, she said, Mom, don't include me because I know you're going to say me, but if you could have any other person on the island with you, who would you choose? And I said, I would choose Lakshmi. I would choose my little dog. Because I trust the little dog. I know that she would take care of me, and I would take care of her. And that's what I chose. I certainly don't want a man on the island. I mean, I would not want that. Except, you know. Oh, I have to. I know you would want Paul, but let me tell you.
No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. I love my husband. I love him dearly. He's a very good man. He is a very good man and a very good person, but there are some parts of us that are so different, and my dog listens to me. My dog loves me just beyond anybody else, and I would choose Charlie Dog, my English short-haired pointer. The same, you know, I wrote on Facebook, and I was serious that because of my husband's work hours, he chose to start sleeping in the guest room, and I begged him, don't do that. Come back in here. It's okay if you wake me up. Come on. No, don't. And then Charlie started sleeping with me, and he tried to come back, and Charlie just kicks him off the bed. I said, I'm sorry, honey. I said, the dog is my bed buddy. Now you left. I tried to get you not to. You have been evicted from my bed.
Well, you know, I saw something on Facebook. I don't do Facebook a lot, but I saw something, one of these famous actresses, about my age probably, and she says, finally, I can be who I want to be, and I'd like to be with my dog. You know, it's like, you know, they give us unconditional love, and I think that we're all trying to learn unconditional love. And, you know, you look at a pet, and when my little dog gets a little snappy with me, after that little girl was in our home, all I do mm-hmm. is I look at her and I honor her because I honor myself. And I honor her and I say, I understand, Lakshmi. And then about 5 seconds later, I look at her and I send her love, and then I pet her and she's okay again. But, you know, for some reason she got scared because, it might have been when she was asleep or something. But that had such an effect on her in her own space, living in her own home, having somebody chase her, you know, all the time. And this child wasn't in our home but for two weeks, but we couldn't stop her. I mean, it was a terrible situation.
She wouldn't stop no matter what you said.
Oh yeah, we would finally. I would have to pick the dog up. That's how she would stop. I would have to take the dog with me, and it was in the summertime, so it was very difficult taking the dog with me because it was hot. And when I would go to work, I would have to take the dog. And what I ended up doing was buying terrific fans that were real, real strong, and then I would buy a lot of ice, and then I would or I would leave her with my daughter if that was the situation, and then she would just hold her if I were at home, you know, I would just have to hold my dog. But, you know, that's just not right. You know, I mean, yeah, that's
no,
how
it's
it
not.
Stopped is that we would just have to hold the dog, and then she'd start whining and crying. And you know, it was a very, very difficult situation. So I told him, no, she's not going to be back in my home again. And, you know, it's like a lot of people will sacrifice everything about themselves just to be loved. And I think that's the greatest gift that I am on my journey for, Sandy, to help other women, is to learn to love yourself, take care of yourself, not in a selfish way, like ego and, you know, I mean, but you know, that's part of the counseling, is to learn.
Yeah.
How do I care for myself? That's the whole point of the counseling is, and that's what we go through in some of these procedures that I go through to help people, is because you've got to learn that acceptance of self. Now, you know, I'm going to use you for an example, if you don't mind. You know that there's a part of you that can go into that kind of, you know, beating yourself up. You already know that. That's a
part. Yes, in a different way now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's a part of your board of directors. You have somebody on your board of directors that can bully you, okay? You already know that, right? You know, Sandy's board of directors has a bully on it. All right, well, Sandy has chosen, as head of her board of directors, by the way, you're head of your own board of directors, you have decided to take that board of directors away. And that board of directors is now, even though they're still a board of director, they're still part of that, but you have taken control of them. And you've said, no, you're not doing that. Now, you want to be on this board of directors, and you're going to have a voice in my life. Mm-hmm. You're going to kiss my hand. You're going to kiss. That's how you're going to shift. And so you've gotten control of your board. Because, you know, we all have board of – you are your board of directors. And you have a lot of directors in your life that you live with every single day. One of them is your love of animals. One of them now is your love of self, so that when you get in an argument or if somebody starts to beat you down or bully you, you know now to say, whoa, that director is going away. I'm not allowing that anymore. So you gain control. You gain a perspective. You know, you gain a perspective of yourself. So you know all your parts. You know that if somebody starts to bully Sandy, okay, I got to get control of them. I'm getting control of him. That now, not him, the person bullying you, but you're going to get control of that part of you that that reacts to it, and that's your only control anyway. But you know,
exactly.
I want to share. Yeah, I don't know if you listen to the news, Sandy, but as a spiritual healer that wants the world to get better, I had to do something, and that's why I chose tonight to talk, because all I do when I do want to hear the news. I'm one of those that does not hide from the world. I want to know what's going on in our world. I want to know if there's something happened in Atlanta, I won't go down there. You know, I want to know what's happening in my world. And then what I go do is I'm not here to solve the world's problems, but I go within myself and I look at how I react. And I'm thinking, I react and I go in and heal. It's something in me that needs to be healed that can then, if I'm healing something in myself, I'm making the world better. In some subtle way, I am going to make the world better. And I will give everybody a good example. Today, I went downstairs because the guy came to dehumidify the house. You know, I live up in the mountains and it can get very humid up here. So he was very kind. He said, no, you don't have any foundation problems. Your house is in good shape. But what I would do is I'd buy a winterizer and a coolerizer that has a window unit that has air conditioning and heat. Put it in your window. And it'll get rid of all the moisture. It'll get rid of all the mold, and it'll keep that basement terrace level alive and feeling like the energy's flowing. So I went out today and bought it, and the man at Home Depot said, I said, look at you. You're looking at the two handy women right here. You see her right over there? Yeah, you're looking at them. And he said, oh, you won't have any problem doing that. And I'm like, okay, good. Well, I looked at my daughter and I said, we can do this. We can do this. So we got it all out. We put it in the window. About an hour later, we said, well, after a few very strong comments of mine, I started really getting upset. I really did. I got upset. And my daughter was like, Mom, we can't get upset about this, you know? She was really very powerful. Then she started getting upset. And then I looked at it and I said, why am I upset? And I was upset, Sandy, because I have two doctorates. I have been to school and I'm older than dirt. And I couldn't read the directions and make sense out of putting a little unit in a wall. I mean, in a window. I was like, wait a minute. There's something wrong here, you know? And and you know what my daughter said? Mom, you have other talents. You have other talents. Now, we have to go call the person that has that talent. So I thought to myself, okay, see, I didn't have to be married. I was married to a man for 12, 15 years. He couldn't have done it. Just because you're a man doesn't mean you know how to do that. I mean, this person didn't know a thing about handiwork. So I said, oh, I know what to do. I ran upstairs and I said, I know who I'll call. Within 1 hour, I had this friend over here. I paid him $20, had this friend over here, and he fixed it for us in 30 minutes. And I thought to myself, I said to him, you know, you're very smart. You have a smartness that I don't have. And he looked at me like, what do you mean? You're a lawyer and you got a PhD and you're calling me smart. And I said, you bet I am. You bet I am, because you have a skill and a talent that I don't have. But I started beating myself up, Sandy. I started beating myself up. I did. And I was so determined to get it. By the time the man came, we had put all the parts on the wrong way. We'd have never gotten that thing yet, you know? Or I wouldn't have had a life. We'd have been still, because we put everything on backwards, you know? It didn't fit right, and we knew it didn't fit right. But I guess my point being is, learn to love yourself. Learn to know that maybe you don't have the best handyman skills. Maybe you do, Sandy. But maybe there's something in life that you're not as skilled at that maybe Joe Blow is, or your husband. So learn to have that part of your board of directors, but don't beat it up. It's like, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not smart because you can't put a air conditioning heating unit in your window. That doesn't mean you're not smart, but be smart enough to know who to call. There's your key.
Well, I tell you, I'm just learning to take control of my board of directors. As someone who was raised that the man is in charge, the man knows better. I mean, the women in my family, the men sit on their fanny, even if they work too, and the woman fixes their plate and brings them the plate. And just within this last week, I was driving my husband to get a prescription he had dental implants anyway. I asked him, he couldn't even talk now. I got so mad at myself. Do you think I should park over here, or do you think it would be better to park over there? And I thought, never mind, Paul. I said, you can't even talk. And just because I sit down to tinkle and you don't doesn't mean I've got any less brain. Let me just figure out this simple little thing on my own. So anyway, I thank God for my husband, who is one who usually he doesn't think he's better or knows better because he's a man. But I'm trying to take control of that. I get so aggravated at myself. A man's voice tells me to do something.
Put yourself as board of directors. So you know what? I might have a show on that. But I just want to thank everybody. I didn't realize it, but the producer is saying we just got a minute left. So Sandy, thanks for your call. And you've always been supportive of the show, and it's so deeply appreciated. I want to let everyone know that next week we're going to be airing the Robert Tum show again about the spiritual entity work, because I am going to be at a seminar. Learning and learning and learning to share with you. But listen next week, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. Living Your Soul's Journey. Go to livingyoursoulsjourney.com. Fill out the freedom to be me, and be blessed this week. And Sandy, thanks for calling in. And everyone, have
a beautiful
week. And thanks for sharing. Good night.
Bye bye.